Welcome to Sports from the Couch.
I gotta say, it's the stupidest thing in sports.
With your host, Mike Mercado.
Players cannot stand them. Coaches cannot stand them. Most importantly, the fans can't stand them.
Brought to you by Mercado Airways.
I'm gonna say it once, and hopefully I'm wrong, but it's a disaster waiting to happen.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
Welcome in, and thank you for joining us here on Sports from the Couch here on Mercado Airwaves. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I want to thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Before we get to today's show, let's take care of some housekeeping notes. Follow me on Twitter at MikeMMedia, Instagram at MikeMercadoMedia, and you can follow this show at Couch Sports Talk. Make sure you guys give us a thumbs up, like, rate, review us wherever you get your favorite podcast at Mercado Airwaves. You can become a producer of the show at patreon.com/Mercado Airwaves and get our interviews ad-free and before anybody else with athletes and celebrities. And show off your support for the network by buying some swag at teespring.com/Mercado Airwaves. It is Wednesday, August 5th, 2020 in the beautiful city of Chicago. And late last night, I was joined with one of my best buddies and one of the best MLB insiders in the city of Chicago from Baseball Weekend Journal, Paul Chavarri. We collabed, we did what the Avengers did and assembled and created some awesome memories, or at least a halfway decent podcast, which we got coming up for this edition of Sports from the Couch. So sit back, relax, and enjoy my conversation with MLB insider Paul Chavarri from Baseball Weekend Journal here on Sports from the Couch on Mercado Airwaves with Mike Mercado. Enjoy it.
Greetings, baseball fans, and welcome to a special middle-of-the-week edition of the Baseball Weekend Journal and co-opting with Sports from the Couch with Mike Mercado. Mike, you're my co-host on this. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, my man. How you been? How have you been enjoying the first, 10, 11 days of Major League Baseball?
Oh, my goodness. That's why we're here. It's just a loaded conversation. I can't even give you a straight answer without talking for an hour. So do you want to get into it?
Yeah, man. You know, before we actually get to the nitty gritty of it, one thing that's been bugging me, because we do a lot of golden material outside of microphones and studios because we're at the radio station together during the weekends. And,
for sure.
You know, one of the things that kind of made me think of us doing this together, because we do weekly shows, we do daily shows. And one thing that I wanted to kind of pick your brain on is, you know, as a baseball fan and as somebody who's been covering the sport, how has it been for somebody like you? You know, for me, I'm enjoying having it back, and I'm enjoying talking about, the people behind it, the storylines, the potential. But, somebody who's actually into the nitty-gritty of the details, the analytics, kind of what it means for the season, how have you been able to, how are you digesting it?
Well, everything around the game has been horrendous. You know, the negotiations of what it took to get here, the fact that there's a pandemic in people's health and safety, the fact that it's restarted and there's been two teams that have been hampered by outbreaks and then teams residually burdened by having to quarantine as a result of this. So, everything around it has been just really bad. But the baseball itself being played is so enjoyable, and it's so glad to see it back. But at the same time, what is this worth?
Let me ask you this. Before we get into, the moral part of it, because, I'm with you. I think morally speaking, and I'm having a tougher time with other sports morally, like college football, than I am Major League Baseball, because at some point, at least, they do have the strongest representation in Major League Baseball's Player Association, and these guys are getting paid a lot of money. So, you know, I'm not as worried about them as I am, let's say, a college athlete.
Yeah, and I think you and I were talking about this, in the early goings of this, of, the amateur athlete is someone that we really, I'm thinking about high school. This is going to be one of the first falls that I'm not covering high school football in a long time. And I have to wait until the spring. And even then, I'm not holding my breath that they're going to have a spring football session. And it's those students that, those people that you have to worry about the most. They're not millionaires. They don't have access to great testing. And, and it's what is this ultimately for? I mean, if these children want to play, can you really hold their word as something that can be a legal binding contract? Do these kids really understand what they're getting into if they're going to play it unrepresented and not having a unique training staff or a professional training staff surrounding them.
And this was something that I had in the back of my brain that I wanted to save before we got out of here, because it's just something that I just can't stop thinking about. And you know me, anybody who's been following me at Sports from the Couch, anytime I've joined you on the journal, that my thing is I can't talk about 2021. We have to get through 2020. But I just can't get out of my mind that everything that we've seen this season from Milwaukee, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Cardinals, everything that we've seen from the way they got to this deal, I think there might be bubble cities next year, Paulie Dangerous, and I don't know.
If it's happening like this, I don't see why they wouldn't, because you're hearing about the success from the NHL and the NBA so far. I mean, I know there's been Lou Williams had to get that chicken at the strip club. I heard that.
It's some good wings,
but
I've heard
the NHL has been, like, flawless.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, the NHL's been flawless. The NBA has done, and, you know, other than the few hiccups and the Zion Williamson and, you know, just the random stories that have happened, they've done a great job. So I'm wondering if we're looking at next year, Los Angeles, the Chicago stadiums, New York City, and, you know, around the rest of the country, that there's only six bubble cities, and this is how we're going to have to do it, because I'm watching baseball right now, and I got to be honest with you, the quality is actually pretty good. The thing that's hurting this season is injury, and not just coronavirus. That's the illness. We know what that is, but injuries are destroying bullpens and starting rotations, and we're seeing what the devastation that this is going to have on a roster. So I have to believe that next year, if they're watching what we're watching, and I guess it's kind of hard now. We can't say that all the billionaires and the owners are the smartest people in the world, because we've seen how a lot of this has played out. But I'm assuming, or I have to think, that if we get a 2021, if we find a way to get through October in 2020, we have to do bubble cities.
Yeah, we have to do bubble cities. And you're right about the injuries. And it has been a lot of pitching injuries, maybe slightly more than we usually see in a season. And I think that's just because of the lack of routine. I mean, these are guys that have spent every spring and summer into fall of their last, you know, adult years, or their adult years, the last, you know, decade or however long their career is, constantly on a schedule of pitching. And you see with a shutdown and a quick restart where you have to ramp up really quickly to, you know, high competitive Major League Baseball, you're seeing what toll that does on some of these arms. And yeah, you're right. Bubble cities, I think a better training regimen. But at the same time, you know, I think it goes back to my thing, like, how worth it is this? You know, like, we've talked about it before, and I think you've been on it more than I have about throughout the process of, can they complete a season? I don't think it's going to happen, is what you were telling me. And I was, you know, I was confident. And I think, you know, I brought up recently how, you know, off the air to you, how just it's so telling that given how horrendous the situation has been already, that they're not canceling this. And eventually this has got to come to a point where it's going to have to stop. They have so many games to make up. They want to squeeze it into such a short amount of time. They increased the playoffs to 16 teams. There's been already two outbreaks, and they're trying to prevent more outbreaks from happening, but they're also talking about another wave. You know, it doesn't seem like this thing is going away anytime soon. They're not in bubble cities, like you're saying. It's kind of a mess. I don't know. I don't see how they can logically finish a season without this becoming a continuing problem.
You know, it's funny because the one thing I've always said is I think every sport was going to start. Like everybody was going to start. The real problem, the real testament to a league, to the players, to how they prepare for this is, do we crown champions? I think we're going to crown an NBA Finals champion. I think we'll see whoever hoists the Stanley Cup. I don't know if we're going to see who holds the Commissioner Trophy, or, you know, that piece of metal that Rob Manfred referred to it as. But like, I don't know, Paulie. Like, I don't know if we get to the end of the season. But let's just say we do find a way, even because I think what's actually going to happen is we're not going to get to the traditional end of the season. I think some teams are going to get 55 games. Some, maybe one or two teams gets to 60. Most are going to have anywhere from 40 to 45 games played. So to me, I think we're going to be talking about not necessarily the legitimacy of the champion, but the integrity of the regular season. My thing is the integrity of most regular seasons or startups is pretty much over this season to watch. The only thing that matters from this season in most sports, and I'll put baseball more specifically on this, if we could crown the champion, that's the only thing that matters at this point. We got, other than we're taking off the people's wellness. That's always going to be the forefront and what needs to be taken care of. But speaking of business and of a sport, baseball just wants to get to the playoffs. They want to get to those billion-dollar TV deals. They don't care at what cost. They'll have these, you know, bus teams. They do not care. My issue now becomes, as a fan, how much leniency are you willing to give this league? Like, are you willing, if the Astros win this year, if the Dodgers, let's use the Dodgers for example, a very popular team nationally, a team that has the talent, and a team that is expected to go far. If they win the World Series this year but only play 40 games, that still has to be valid, but we have to talk about it differently.
Their fans are going to get made fun of so much, though, if this is the year they finally win the World Series in a season like this. I mean, I would feel sorry for them, but at the same time, you and I have talked that you have to... the champion is legitimate, but you're right. We might get to a season where not everyone has played 60 games. And we've seen that. I've seen that on the collegiate level, the summer leagues, mm-hmm. you know, those really kind of not really best run or organized leagues mm-hmm. that are just kind of almost hobby leagues where it's like, hey, we just play the games that we can squeeze in, you know, based on the field conditions or the availability of the players or whatever. And it's weird to see it at the major league level. It really is. And I think you're right. They're going to do whatever it takes to complete a season. And I think it's telling that they haven't forced the Marlins to use their taxi squad yet, you know, or forfeit games. Yeah. It's really interesting. It's fascinating. And I think the 16 playoff teams will help make that a little bit of an easier pill to swallow, where it's like, well, if you couldn't get it done in 45 games – and be amongst one of the greater teams with your win percentage, then I don't know what to do for you. So I mean, we'll see. But what were your thoughts on the Field of Dreams game getting canceled?
Man, Paulie, you know, it's funny because you're one of the first people I thought of when I heard this news. I wanted to save it for the show because you and I talked about, like, what this game actually meant, that there's so much that it means to White Sox fans because it was putting that team on national spotlight. You know what I believe. I think the White Sox are being underutilized in national programming. I think they're exciting. They're so fun to watch. They're great counter programming to the Cubs because they're so similar but so different in so many ways. So it's great to get like your chocolate and your strawberry ice cream and be able to have your flavors of both. And I think baseball is doing a poor job of that. But this idea of being able to see the White Sox and the Cardinals, two major sports cities, two franchises that have great fan bases, we knew this was going to happen. We knew this was going to be canceled, and we knew this was coming down to the Cardinals. We knew that they were the marquee of this matchup besides the aesthetic.
The reports that I mm-hmm. saw is that it didn't really have so much to do with the COVID, but I don't totally buy that. Mm. They said logistics was the reason, and I'm wondering if they just couldn't get the park and the safety together, because it's not like they planned this park with a pandemic in right. mind, and, you know, perhaps just finishing the park itself just with, you know, it wasn't like they were planning this building it. It wasn't like they were building it before they announced it. They announced this and then they started building it. And I think just based on its you know, location, based on the fact that they couldn't make it safe, this is an assumption on my part. I haven't heard anything. I haven't heard otherwise. But they said it wasn't totally because of the Cardinals, but I think that was probably the nail in the coffin where it's like, look, this is all a bad omen. We can build this park, have it ready for next year, and try this all over again with the Sox and Yankees like we planned on.
Yeah, that to me is the most important thing, is that you have to pay this off, though. You know, like, you've promised the fans this, you've promised baseball this, you've promised the White Sox organization this game. You got to come through for them. So if next year it means you give them back the Yankees, if it means you schedule the Cubs and the White Sox to do this because they're in the same city, you have to get this game done at some point. This is coming from a Cub fan, but somebody who covers sports but also has his empathy for a fan base. This was a great showcase game that got taken from them out of their hands. So I think it's something the league really should make sure they make a point of, to make sure not only that they're showcasing the White Sox, give them a good matchup, make it a good time of the year, and make sure we get this game in.
I think the White Sox will get their due. I'm not really worried about their lack of national exposure because I understand that the White Sox aren't really a draw. I mean, ESPN forgets that they exist anyway, so that rules out a network right there. So you really have to depend on Fox, and you're in the city with the Cubs. I mean, they're kind of the darling, and I think they have kind of some of the better matchups. You know, it's, I think, more appealing to see a Cubs-Cardinals or Cubs-Brewers right now versus a White Sox-Twins. But, you know, it's baseball. I think you're already seeing what the White Sox were supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it was always that they were going to start contending by 2020, and I think they do have a very competitive product on the field. I think they're batting order. I think offensively they're a juggernaut right now. I think pitching is something that they're really going to have to figure out.
They have none
completely
right now. Like this year has – you talk about a team that's been ravaged – not only from opt-outs, but from actual injuries throughout game, that as great as that lineup is, the kryptonite to this White Sox team right now, as of August 4th, is that starting pitching rotation.
Yeah, it's not totally decimated, though, as long as Lucas Giolito is there, you know, as long as Dallas Keuchel is there. You know, you got two guys right there. Like, Giolito, a guy that's really coming into his own right now, and you're hoping that he continues that trend towards, you know, being one of the better pitchers in the league. You know, he's living up to the hype that he was when he was a top prospect in the league with the Washington Nationals. And then you got Dallas Keuchel, who's kind of, you know, a veteran presence, a former Cy Young Award winner that is definitely not much of the pitcher he was in that Cy Young season, but still a guy that has been playing in high-level Major League Baseball and has really done well in his first two starts with the White Sox. So I think as long as you got a base building with them, you know, and Dylan Cease has kind of looked a little bit better now that he's got a year under his belt and a couple of the starts that he's had. I think you have something there. You just kind of hope that, like, maybe Gio Gonzalez can offer something.
Well, with losing Rondon hurts a lot.
Rondon, yeah, for sure. That one hurts. Yeah. Which, I mean, he was, you know, it's unfortunate because he was, I think, what, the fourth overall pick?
Yeah.
In, 2014, 2015? Which is funny because that was when the White Sox and Cubs went back to back and the Sox took Rodon before Kyle Schwarber. Not to say that Schwarber would have been a better fit with the White Sox, but that's just kind of, I think, one of the always one of those interesting folklore of Cubs White Sox Chicago is that you know, Rodon might end up having a bust of a career, which is a shame because you saw when it was working.
Yep.
And there were flashes last night when he looked really good. It's just, I think he just doesn't get the velocity on his fastball. But he's really good at mixing his pitches. He uses his fastball, slider, and changeup evenly, and he's just really good at it. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, the shoulder soreness, the Tommy John surgery, all of it, you know, he may bounce back and have more starts before it's all said and done, but honestly, it hasn't looked good for his career. And the White Sox really need to think about moving on from that. And it's funny that you bring that up, the starting pitching. I offered it up last night in a White Sox Facebook group of some people that I really trust for a Facebook group. I think, you know, some really hardcore White Sox fans and baseball fans that kind of get the vibe of the sport. And not that I was suggesting that they do it. I was thinking that the White Sox are probably going to be interested in starting pitching. And the Arizona Diamondbacks have gotten off to a little bit of a rough start, and they're in a tough division with the Dodgers and the Padres in front of them, and the Rockies getting off to a good start. Giants haven't been too bad either. The Diamondbacks might be a team that's really a seller, and especially the fact that they have Robbie Ray, who they have not been able to have a contract extension with. He's 28 years old, you know, a starting left-handed pitcher that can really hold his own despite the fact that he's had a couple of rough outings already this year. But a guy that probably still has some major league stuff and is going at low cost would be a veteran presence that you could have in your starting rotation. Could the White Sox make a move for him? Now, obviously, Rick Hahn, the White Sox general manager, isn't going to make some sort of move that's going to sacrifice the future of the team. He's not going to trade Andrew Vaughn for, you know, Robbie Ray. Now, Andrew Vaughn for Jacob DeGrom, now we're talking.
Right.
I don't think the Mets are going to do that, though. But at the same time, that's the type of high-caliber trades that you got to be talking about when you're going to talk about getting rid of prospects for players like that. Robbie Ray is a free agent at the end of the season. There's no guarantee the White Sox are going to sign him to an extension. It's just purely for this year, trying to get them through maybe to a World Series championship if they can get there, and they need starting pitching. I offered up Robbie Ray for Micker Adolfo and Yermin Mercedes. And Yermin Mercedes has been up in spring training, the summer camp, and the regular season. I think he's already gotten like four at-bats. But he can play catcher, he can play third base, he can play left field. It's like he can play up the line, you know? So that's a really great utility to have, a guy that can play those positions. he can hit, I think, enough to be called up to the major league level. We have yet to see if he's a guy that can hit as well as, you know, Yasmani Grandal, James McCann, Zach Collins, which the White Sox are going for. So here's a guy that has potential that can play multiple positions, utility, on the on the line or on the corner. And then with that, Micker Adolfo has had some injury problems, but he's an outfielder that can hit for power. He had a low batting average in the Arizona Fall League, but I want to say in like 61 plate appearances, he had 4 home runs. You know, so it's definitely a guy that, you know, you have some potential there. Now, I don't know if the Diamondbacks would accept that, but that's kind of a what I want to roll with here. Of like, you know, what sort of things can we kind of snowball here and figure out that you know, could be trades, realistic trades, because the trade deadline is real. It's coming up at the end of this month.
Is it though?
It's supposed to be July 31st traditionally, but they moved it back to August 31st. The question is, will teams want to make trades in a season like this? But there are still guys that are just throwaway players like Robbie Reyes. And I hate to say that Robbie Reyes is a throwaway player, but the Diamondbacks haven't had a conversation with him before the shutdown about an extension, and I haven't heard about anything since. This is a guy that the Diamondbacks are probably more desperate to move than most teams are willing to part with people. And I think the White Sox are at a point, though, with a guy like Micker Adolfo, where they realize, like, okay, you know, he might be a little bit better than Adam Engel, but Adam Engel covers some defensive ground for us, and he's been hitting for some power this season. He's showing us something right now. And there's always a free agent outfielder out there that can play and hit in this league. Do you really need Micker Adolfo when you already have Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert? And it's not like you need the DH Jimenez because you already have a logjam at DH with the White Sox.
But here's my thing. I love where you're going at, and I love your mindset of this. But we have to think bigger picture when it comes to rosters. I don't think teams want to have bad optics by trading players during a pandemic. And, like, follow my logic here.
I'm with you, but okay, sure.
Let me put it to you this way. Right now, we live in a city where in the NBA, the Chicago Bulls have bad optics among the league. From players to coaches, the way they've handled certain situations when it comes to trading, firing, so on and so forth. I think it's very important in today's day and age of sports where you have to treat people with respect or what at least looks like some form of respect. And while I agree with you, a trade to a potential contender is a big thing, and it is good optics in a normal sense. This year, though, we're talking about if you trade somebody, do they have to go in quarantine for the next 14 days? Do we expedite their coronavirus test? What exactly are we talking about at this point when we're talking about normal transitions and transactions during a regular season? While your trade may make sense,
there's been transactions. So, I mean, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's a little bit rougher to do it, but I mean, it's a business. I mean, I would just think of it that way where, you know, pandemic or no pandemic, the Diamondbacks are probably looking to get top value for Robbie Ray. So, I mean, sure. It's probably going to happen. I'm just using him as one example. I mean, I'm sure there's other free agents out there like that. Plus, there's going to be teams that are going to be bottom dwellers come August 31st, and a majority of teams are going to be looking for some sort of that. Without really being able to rattle it off the top of my head, there's got to be teams that have windows that are closing or just sort of the type of depth in their budget and their roster pool. And I think that's where the White Sox are a perfect candidate for Ray, where it's like, do they need him? No, but like they just lost a left-handed starting pitcher that they were really hoping to be a part of their future, and his career might be in jeopardy at this point. Why not go out and get a guy, especially when you have a season where it's looking like you might be able to sneak in and get your World Series championship and then figure it out next year? I don't think Micker Adolfo was in the long-term plans, neither with Yermín Mercedes. So it's just more of those, you know, if the Diamondbacks were interested. And that's just one example. But I know what you mean. It's harder to pull off a trade in this climate for various reasons. And, yeah, health is one of them because, the team physical mm-hmm. that you got to get in order to make a trade. But, like, now you got to hope this guy is baseball healthy and COVID healthy.
You know, you brought up an interesting point that I want to get to. We could do this all day, but as we start getting wrapped up in what is the early part of the MLB season, let me ask you, what does it mean when a team's window is closed? When are we getting to that point? We talked about earlier where I think some teams are going to get in the playoffs with 42 games played. Some are going to get in with all 60. When does it – is it like, for lack of a better definition, like pornography where we'll know it when we see it? Like what – when – what is the normal window in a shortened 60-game season for a pandemic season that we're going to say this team is out of it now? You know, are the Marlins out of it, but they have a winning percentage? Like, what to you? What is that? Where is that?
Well,
point?
I think it'll look a little bit easier when it gets closer. But then you also have to think of what the overall storyline of the team was, and I think with I just use the Arizona Diamondbacks as an example there, where it's like if they were in competition right now, if they got off to the hot start, they're probably keeping Robbie Ray because they probably think, hey, this is, you know, we might not be ready yet to win a championship. We're building something here, but we weren't supposed to be one of those contenders to win the division this year. But, you know, we're building something. Maybe next year we hold on to Robbie Ray, hope for the best, you know, and win that World Series this year in this, like, weird pandemic year. But I think, though, you'll see at the halfway point of the season, there's just going to be teams that are like, you know what? There's no point in trying to be top eight in this league. We're just going to pack it up. We're going to run the motions, try and develop players, keep our guys healthy, and prepare for next season when we were already kind of thinking about what we wanted to do long term anyway.
Paulie, do you think we crown a World Series champion, man? Like, I'm sitting here and I still don't know.
Dude, I don't know. I don't think so, man. If you would have asked me, like, you probably did, I think, in your, you know, like, what a difference, what, 2 weeks makes? I think that was the last time we talked to each other on your season preview on Mercado Airwaves, Sports on the Couch. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike M Media.
Oh, he's a pro!
You know, I think I would have said, yeah. I mean, you know, like I was saying earlier in this podcast, how, you know, it's telling that they haven't shut down the season yet, but like, I'm leaning towards, we don't see a World Series champion this year. And I've been so confident, leading up to this moment, but this last couple of days, you know, just like the Cardinals going down, Field of Dreams getting canceled. How many games have been postponed that have yet to be made up? Like, when are we going to face the reality?
I think most sports fans are afraid of facing that reality. I've been saying it on my shows. I love sports fans. I think this is the one realm that has avoided COVID the most. We went 2 months without sports, but we got sports back. There, if you're a pop culture fan, you're not getting new movies in the movie theater. Mulan is going to Disney Plus. If you're a concert fan, if you're a music fanatic, you're not going to see System of a Down or Rage Against the Machine that was supposed to be this weekend. You're not.
Yeah, but if you are seeing them, you might have to like go on pay per view and see them play to like an empty warehouse.
Right, but
you know, people have been getting creative. That's the weird part of the world we live in.
The silver lining.
I was watching the Blackhawks game last night, and Connor McDavid gets the hat trick, and then there's the woman that comes down the aisle and just throws a couple hats over. And, like, I don't know how much of that was because they're playing in the Oilers' home. You know, like, the bubble happens to be, coincidentally, the team that the Blackhawks are playing. Or if it's just that's what they would have done for any. Like, that's the only hockey I've watched was last night, and that just cracked me up seeing that. And then, like, today did you hear about the day game today had a delay because of a drone hovering over the stadium?
Oh, freaking 2020. What hipster had a drone going?
I don't know. It was in Minneapolis. But yeah, in like the fifth inning, there was like a good like 5 to 10 minute delay where they're like, well, it's a drone. People are leaving the field.
When did Minnesota? Because
you don't know. You don't know in this day and age. And it's probably just some joyrider that was like, oh, I'm going to take my drone. No one's there. You know, what risk would it be? And it's like, there is a no-fly zone. You know, with the FAA, there is a no-fly zone over a major league ballpark. You have, like, a certain, like, proximity that you need to avoid, and it stopped the game. You know, it's like, this is the world we live in. It's just so weird right now, and I just don't see how it comes to a conclusion when there's been already this much adversity in less than 2 weeks. In 2 weeks as we're recording this. Yeah.
Baseball and drones don't go together. Just ask Trevor Bauer.
Well, yeah, right? Yeah.
let you, Paulie, before we got on the air, I made sure to ask some of the wonderful people some questions to ask you and your crazy mind. But before we get to that, this one's one personally from me, because I mentioned this on my show on Sports from the Couch proper on Monday. I mentioned that to me, the one thing you could take from there's some things you can take and some things you can't take from the start of this regular season. You know, whether it's people's statistics, the way somebody looks, health, all these different things. I said the one thing that you, as a baseball fan, you should do, though, is live game to game for the first time, because it actually is kind of game to game, at least much more than it is for the normal baseball fan at 162.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, actually speaking, when it comes to analysis, when it comes to the game, what can and can't we take from the first few weeks of the Major League Baseball season in pandemic 2020?
Well, I mean, you and I argued about this off the air this weekend about, you know, how much season there truly is. And like, yeah, it's, you know, this quick into it and we're like more than 10%, you know, into it, 15%, something like that. You know, it goes quick. And yeah, you do have to live a little game to game, you know, but I think with the increased amount of playoff teams, that relaxes it a little bit, you know, where it's like, oh my gosh, we're 500 after 20 games. And it's like, it's okay. As long as you can get those 40 games in, you might go on a tear. You know, anyone can have a hot week. It's only a third of a season. It's still a lot of games. There's still series. There's still division games. And it's neat that they kept it regional. So it's balanced regionally, at least, you know, in sections. So there's a fighting shot for everyone. I don't know if that totally answered your question, but I just think, you know, yeah, live game to game, but at the same time, it's still a baseball season.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's not like you're playing every team once. It's not like it's football, you know, where one game is going to kill you. But I think at the same time, it's like, you know, it just means a little bit more because it's three times more powerful to win or lose.
We have some breaking news, Paulie Dangerous. This is from Derek S. Gold, who was then retweeted by Bob Nightingale. The St. Louis Cardinals will resume play Friday against the Cubs at Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
Yeah, that was discussed. I heard that was the intention. They're saying this now, but weren't the Marlins supposed to start today originally, and they still haven't?
I guess.
And then coupled with, are the Phillies and Yankees playing? You just jogged my mind with, when I recorded the journal, you know, I was saying to you before I recorded it on Sunday that there's always just some sort of breaking news. And I was lucky last week, before the previous one, that the Marlins, when that story broke, I was there to cover it. Now, I didn't know it was going to totally turn into what it turned into, but I knew that the Marlins had a COVID outbreak and that was developing. And I was able to timestamp it in that episode. What I missed on this one, which I think was huge too, was the ghosting that Yoenis Cespedes did to the Mets.
Yes. Paulie, really fast to your Yankees question. Yankees and Phillies tomorrow in a doubleheader is supposedly confirmed.
A week ago, they were supposed to do two in Philly, two in New York. And they haven't played one game yet.
In New York.
Okay.
So that is...
You see what I'm saying, though? Like, how many games have been canceled? There's been so many canceled at this point. You know, it's like, how are you going to be able to make that up?
I don't know. And that's why it always comes back to, will we be able to finish a season? How will we finish a season? And if anything, I think more than any, not just crowning a World Series champion, does the integrity of the regular season actually matter when half the teams are going to play 40 games and half the teams are going to play the full 60?
Well, this is what I was saying before of like, you know, do sort of round robin, which they're doing now, but then go into a, instead of top 16, go into a 30-team double elimination. That way you give your pitchers enough rest too, where like you could really go with the best and the best. You know, like if you want to hold off your best two pitchers for that game, you do it. But at all hands on deck, you know, maybe there's like a 2 or 3 day break in between games. Like, you can still kind of ride some of your better dudes every game.
Paulie Dangerous, before we get out of here, my man, these are the two questions that I got from social media, Baseball Weekend Journal, Paul Shavari, Mike and Media, Couch Sports Talk, all this other great, wonderful stuff where we're all over the universe. This was the first one. What's your biggest surprise so far of the season?
I you know, at the weekend, I said the Rockies being the record that they were. And I still want to kind of ride with that, but it's not like the biggest surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, biggest surprise. That's hard.
I'll give you mine.
Give me yours.
Quality of baseball. The games have actually been pretty damn decent. I didn't think that they would be as competitive. I thought one side of the ball would have much more of an advantage, and it hasn't been that way. There's been a lot of games that if there's been offensive heavy, a lot of games where the pitching has been dominant. I think it's actually been a pretty fair, all things being equal, start to the season in quality of play.
Sure, and like I said, I love the quality of baseball that's been out there, but this isn't a surprise to me because I think they're professionals. You know, like, these are guys that were hungry for the opportunity.
Sure.
I just think it's a little bit weird because it's like, yeah, it's still the major leagues, and you still have, like, the big guns out there. But at the same time, you have so many new guys cycling in there that might not have gotten a chance to debut this season otherwise, or would have debuted in a different sense.
In September.
You know, like, yeah. So I think it's a different look. You know, I don't want to discredit it, you know, but it's almost something where it's like, it's not AAA, it's not Major League Baseball. It's somewhere in the middle. It's more Major League Baseball than it is minor, but it's almost like you get this weird, like, quadruple A mixed with whoever's healthy in the major leagues.
You know what? It's funny, too. You're talking about triple A and quadruple A and major and just, like, what we always consider a tier of a player. You know, not quite a major league player and not just too good to be in triple A. You know what I've enjoyed, though, from the minor leagues? I've actually enjoyed the extra innings with the runner in second base.
The runner on second, yeah.
Because,
well, yeah, for this season, I was all about it. You know, we talked about that. I'm fine with that.
Let me tell
what
you
What do you
this,
think
though?
About the seven-inning double adders?
You know what? I'm okay with both, but let me explain to you why specifically for this season, and let me tell you why I think the runner in second should be taken moving forward, okay?
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Like, I'm not married to
you. All right, sell me. Lay it on the table. Let's do it.
Yes, I like the 7-inning doubleheader. Just, we got to get the season in. Let's do it. It is what it is. Like, that one, I think, is just more out of necessity than it is actually logistics and what I want.
You don't
want to
see that going forward.
No. I like, again, unless, like, we have to, you know, we're at the end of the season or something. Like, unless we have to, I don't want to see it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the storm's coming in. We got to squeeze in two.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's one. That's two.
And then both teams got to agree to it, and the league has to agree to it.
Yes. So, like, that's, you know, I think that's okay to have in the back pocket. What I like about the runner in second base to start the extra inning, while I grant you, I don't want to see it in the sixth inning, the seventh inning, and later on into the game. What I like about it is one of the biggest complaints for a lot of people in baseball, and I know we're talking to the casuals now, but they're still important to this demographic. Aesthetically speaking, there's not a lot of action on the bases is a common complaint. I think this literally takes care of all issues you ever have. You have this idea of, like, you know, there's going to be constant action. Just this weekend when we had the Cubs and the Royals go into extra innings, we had people getting thrown out at home base. We have crazy catches in the outfield. It mattered. There was a certain action to it. It wasn't just you have to hit a home run, first person to get it, the ball in the air is going to win this game. It was there was a certain sense of urgency and action to it. Do I want to see that, you know, after the fifth inning, now every team gets a batter in second base? No. But I think in extra innings, to get the season going, to add a little spice to it, I think it's a nice addition that doesn't take extreme of the sport, like, it doesn't completely screw over what people think of it, but it's a nice little added to it. It's like adding the three-point line in the NBA. It's going to take some time to get used to that aesthetic, but it's a pleasing aesthetic that changes the game in a positive way, in my opinion.
I can't really argue that. You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, the old farts like me are going to have problems with it, but eventually we're all going to cycle through and die off, and you're going to trick all of the future into thinking that this is a normal, acceptable thing in baseball. And it's still baseball, and you're right. It does. You know, there's no action on the base pass. It's the three-outcome game. Well, guess what? We solved the problem, and we're trying to move this thing along.
Yep.
I'm with you. Baseball doesn't end in a tie for a reason, so let's get to that conclusion. If you can't win it normally in nine innings, that's your problem.
Mm. I think, you know what, that's a beautiful way to say it from such a purist who knows the game
of
today.
But I tell you this, for football, if you can't win in 60 minutes plus 15 and it ends in a tie and you're like, I don't know, college football rules, we need to consider those.
You're asking the wrong person, though, and you know this. Like, you know you're asking the wrong person. I'm all for give me a winner, give me as much action, because guess what, even though people say he leans offensively, you might get to see the spotlight of a great defense when it comes to football and in pitching. When there's nothing, like, more intense than when a bullpen, like a relief pitcher, comes in and he just shuts it down when somebody's on base. You know, like, there is an excitement to that. Just like when a defense is on the goal line trying to keep a team from scoring, or there's a power play going on. There's a weird dynamic of having your back against the wall that baseball never really has had, and this is the first time that it has that, like...
Oh, no, baseball's always had that, though.
Sure, sure. I'm talking aesthetically. Like,
I'm talking strictly aesthetically. Bases loaded, nobody out, yes. And getting out of it.
Yes.
You know,
that's exactly. And think about how many times people have daydreams. Bases loaded, two outs, three balls, two strikes, like that intensity. But that's a rarity comparative to other sports where it comes down to a field goal. It comes down to a goal. It comes down to a score. You know, the Super Bowl comes down to whether Seattle is going to pass the ball or throw the ball against the Patriots. Like there is, and now in baseball, in extra innings, when it matters, it finally has a little bit of that, like, that little danger to it that I think it needed to give it a little bit of a oomph to it. But I'm with you. I don't want to see it 1 through 9. But if you're telling me at number 10 moving forward, all right, I'll mess with that.
You know, anything this year is going to be considered for the future. And I like the fact that I think for everybody, for the players that are playing this year, the teams that are fielding the players, for the league trying to make a season happen without fans, for the rules that are being put in place, for the television broadcasting and how they're trying to tweak it to make it more interesting. I think everything's in play to test out how we want to do this going forward, because baseball definitely needed some sort of reset. And I think, unfortunately for the purists, it's just happening this way. And I think, one thing we haven't talked about that hasn't killed anybody this year, DH in the NL. No one's died yet.
Yep. Isn't that something, though? Isn't that something,
No one's died because the DH is in the NL, and we haven't come back once.
With that in mind, Paulie, you cracked open a beer. It sounds absolutely refreshing. That means it's time for your boy to open up a beer. I think we can close this one down. The first 15 days of the Major League Baseball season are in the books. The White Sox and the Cubs locally are kicking ass. You're kicking ass over at the Journal. We're doing our thing over at Sports from the Couch, and I love doing these little crossovers because they give us a chance to, people get to see behind the curtain how we just literally, this is what we do at our job, and now this is what we do for the podcast. So I think this is always a fun time in the middle of a season to crack the mics open and just kind of talk about how we're feeling and what we're seeing in a season. Not just, you know, anybody can look up stats in Google, but it's another thing to talk about what people are seeing and feeling in a season.
He's Mike M. Media on Twitter, Mike Mercado. I'm Paul Chivari, PaulChivari on Twitter. It's the Baseball Weekend Journal and Sports from the Couch. It's been a blast having to do this with my brother, Mike Mercado.
Absolutely. Love you, Paulie.
Love you too, Mike.